Well, God bless you, everybody, and very thankful again to share God's word in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we started to look at this part two of the teaching called Things You Are Assured Of. And if you'll recall, we're looking at trying to understand the context of 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Last week we handled 2:15. This week we'll handle 3:16 and 17. So, in the history of the Christian church, there have been great revivals and sadly great departures from the truth. Referring to the scriptures, Jesus Christ declared that thy word is truth. So, truth isn't discovered through introspection or humanity's collective wisdom. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that the world through its wisdom did not know God. Truth is in God's word, and to the end that man seeks to know God's word, he'll be made free, as Jesus Christ said. So last time we saw that when 2 Timothy was written, a great departure from the truth was taking place. We looked at the man Timothy, how he was a faithful and trusted minister, and Paul had said of him, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." And we saw that First Timothy was placed at Ephesus, and the main exhortation he had been given was to make sure that others did not teach a different doctrine. Then we read from 2 Timothy 1 that Timothy may have had an opportunity to become fearful and even ashamed of the gospel because of the dark state of affairs in the church. Paul said all Asia had turned away from him, which means they had turned away from the gospel. And Timothy was exhorted to rekindle the gift that he had received, that ministry of teaching God's word. So in that context, we read 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, and I'll just read it to you, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And there's much exhortation that we can take from this exhortation to Timothy in a time when people were departing from the truth. As you know, the word study means to exert oneself, endeavor, give diligence, and there's also an element in there of remembering that time is short. And then we're to study to be approved unto God, which is easy to understand. We apply ourselves to the word of truth as workmen. And we endeavor to do a good job so that we're not ashamed of the work we have done. And furthermore, we must rightly divide the word. There is only one truth. There aren't many truths. And to the end we rightly divide the scriptures, we will have the word of truth. If we put our own spin on it, it will no longer be the truth. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:16, which follows verse 15, we read this last week, but we'll just remind ourselves a couple of things here. It says in verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Vain babblings is useless discussions. "And their word," these useless discussions, "will eat as doth a canker," or as gangrene, "of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." See, these men had not rightly divided the word of truth. They were teaching things that were not true. They were teachers of, they claimed to be teachers of the scriptures, but they were not teaching the truth. They had said that the resurrection is past already, and therefore they overthrew people's faith, people's believing. And that's not a place where we want to go. We want to help people to believe God's word. If you skip down to verse 23, again, we read this whole section last week. We just remind ourselves. Paul says, by revelation to Timothy, he said, "But foolish and unlearned questions, get involved in." No. He says, "Avoid, knowing that they do gender strife," okay, or fights. People start fighting with one another. And the servant of the Lord must not strive or must not fight, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. When people walk away from the truth, when they wrongly divide it, they actually end up opposing themselves. It's not to one's benefit to wrongly divide God's word because you don't have truth anymore. Then it says, again, verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God at peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of God, the truth. Again, see how many times truth comes up? They have to acknowledge the truth. Nobody can do it for them. But that isn't going to happen unless somebody teaches them and patiently teaches them God's word. And then it says, verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his, the devil's, will. When somebody walks away from the truth, they become entrapped in this snare of the devil. And literally, they are influenced by him to the point that they're doing the not God's will, but hit the devil's will. And so that is not a very pleasant situation. And the soldier, it says the servant of the Lord, and we can all call ourselves that if we want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are responsible to keep teaching God's word, you know, without arguing with people. When people acknowledge the truth, they can repent, which simply means they can change their mind. They can recover themselves. And so we can understand that the exhortation in 2 Timothy 2:15 is given with a purpose of preserving the truth and guiding people to live by it. It's a serious business. We don't want to see anybody trapped. Handling the word of truth is not something we do lackadaisically, you know. It's got to be done with great care, because it can mean the difference between life and death, literally. It can mean freedom versus being in the snare of the adversary. So this is the context when dark things were happening within the church, people turning away from the truth, leaders, men of great standing in the first century church were walking away from it. The exhortation to Timothy was not to find the right group to hang out with, but the exhortation was to get into God's word, you know, study, be not ashamed, rightly divided. And the approval was to God. Okay. It's really easy to become part of a very large group quickly if you seek approval from men. But those who seek the truth will always find themselves in the minority, as the scriptures attest. So in these times, the exhortation, 2 Timothy 2:15, is written. Now we can understand how serious it is, okay? So with that reminder of 2 Timothy 2:15, today we'll see the context of another verse two verses that we love so much, and we are foundational for our understanding. That's verses 16 and 17 of chapter 3. So first, let's read chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, okay? It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, which means slandering devils, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of thereof, from such turn away. Not a great list, but first let's understand what the term last days, verse 1 says. This also, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, many have taught that this means as we approach the end of the age, but that simply cannot be true. Because after speaking about these last days, and Paul shows how various people would behave and act, Then Paul, by revelation in verse 5, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So if the last days was the end of the age, then Timothy could not turn away from them. It would be happening within Timothy's lifetime. Okay, this would happen. So the last days here, the context of last days mean when there is a departure from the truth. When there was a departure from the truth, things get worse and worse and worse. Okay. But people can come back to the truth. Okay. So these last days is in a period when there is a departure from the truth. You won't have to turn there, so I'll just read to you Acts 20, 28 to 32 again. You remember that we read it last week when Paul had called the elders of Ephesus together and he gave them some warnings as he was heading off to Jerusalem. He said unto them, in Acts 20, 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost of God has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, twisting the scriptures, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So here in 2 Timothy, this is the time Paul had already told them about was going to come. As people departed from the truth, things were going to get worse and worse within, you know, there was going to be people doing terrible things to other believers. Fierce times, it says, or perilous times in verse 1 would set in. And verse 5 is particularly sobering. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What is particularly alarming about this situation that occurs is that these people who we saw were doing some terrible things, they have a form of godliness. See, they don't look this wicked on the outside. They don't look like people without natural affection, traitors, heady, high-minded. They look very nice. They seem to be the nicest people. This makes them even more dangerous. People are unsuspecting of their true motives. But because they have departed from the truth, associating that with them would only bring grief, is all I can think of. So Timothy is told to turn away. Now let's go to verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women or flighty women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, again, truth is at issue here. Okay, truth is of great concern. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So we've come from a part of, you know, point of view in 2 Timothy 2:15 of rightly dividing the word of truth to where it said that people would turn, you know, that they needed to be repent to come back to the knowledge of the truth. Then we have now finally reached the point where people can't come to a knowledge of the truth, and they furthermore resist the truth. Okay, this is, again, the departure that's happening when people have walked away from the truth of God's word. It gets more and more serious. Again, verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou, Timothy, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And he goes on to say to him, all who desire Oh, yeah. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Again, we're talking about as there's a departure from the truth. So that's the dark situation that Timothy was surrounded with. Okay. When there is a departure from the truth, the times are not great. This is what Paul was warning Timothy about. All Asia had departed from Paul, which means from the gospel. But it was going to get worse. It wasn't just, you know, this was the early beginnings of this time period, but it was going to get worse is what Paul is telling him. And he's showing him what's going to happen as people depart from the truth. Okay. And so in light of that dark situation, now we have the exhortation to Timothy here again. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's what Timothy, you, that's the darkness of the situation. People are departing, evil men, seducers, worse, going, getting worse. You, however, know where to look, what to seek, the truth that you have known from a young age. Okay. Then we have these great verses in that context, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Verse 16, again, all scripture, you know, is God-breathed. We know this so well, all scripture. What other, everybody teaches may or may not be God-breathed, but we can certainly understand that all scripture is God-breathed. For Timothy, handling the situation when times are getting worse and people are departing from the truth, again, he's not exhorted to join a particular group or associate with a particular, you know, individuals. He's saying, go to the Word, Timothy. Well, you can guarantee that all scripture is God-breathed. You can't guarantee that what somebody is sharing out there is God-breathed. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay, all conversations, all fighting and talking with people isn't profitable. In fact, we've seen that. Okay, but scripture is where you're going to be profited. And you're going to learn it's profitable for doctrine, how to believe rightly. What is the right thing to believe? Is it to believe that the resurrection is past already, like some people were teaching? Or is it to go to the scriptures to find out what the scriptures say about it? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Okay? And then for correction, for all these things which make up instruction and righteousness. That's where you want to put your head, Timothy, is the exhortation. That's where we today want to be having our safe anchorage in that Word of God. Then that the man of God may be perfect, throughly perfected, or may be furnished, throughly furnished unto all good works. The greatest good work we do is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be equipped to do that, we need to put our head and minds into the scriptures. We need to rightly divide the scriptures. We need to be diligent. We need to be good workmen so that we're not ashamed. And we're not, you know, to be approved before God, because that is the only approval that really counts. You know, when we stand before the Bema, it isn't going to be like, oh, I'm glad you had 10,000 likes on you on your Facebook because you pleased people. It's going to be, did we please God? Were we not, you know, did we stand approved before Him? So that's what Timothy was exhorted. So now you see how serious a matter these verses and this understanding is from this section. Okay, so we've seen how vital the exhortation in 2 Timothy 2:15 is, and why 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 gets to the heart of the matter. We just stick to God's word. It's where we have the truth. It's what we have been assured of. It's what's going to equip us to handle the best and the worst of times. So let's just read into chapter 4, and we'll just read to a few verses here to finish off. He says in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables or myths. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So Paul is charging him before Jesus Christ, the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's bringing to him already back to mind the hope, which he did in the chapter 1 as well when we saw, reminding him of the real future that's to come. Okay, he's bringing him to, reminding him of the hope at his appearing in his kingdom. Waiting for that time, preach the word, Timothy. You know, be instant, which means be ready. It just means be ready. Whenever the opportunity presents itself, be ready to preach the word. Okay. Especially now when the situation is so dark, times aren't going to be convenient. It's not going to be always easy to do it, but you be ready, Timothy, is the exhortation. And with all long-suffering and doctrine. And where does the doctrine come from? It's from, as we know, God's word, right? All scripture is where we get the doctrine. For then verse 3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear the right dividing of God's word, the rightly divided word. But here's what they're going to want to hear as people depart from the truth is what we're talking about. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to hear something that tickles the ears. Okay. Something that they can, you know, get excited about, that salivates, that fulfills their itching ears. Some new thing. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They resisted the truth. Now they just don't want to even hear the truth. They turn away, and instead they prefer myths. Okay. They prefer myths and fables. That's what happens when there's a departure from the truth. You go from God's word that makes you free, the truth, to all the way to wanting, you know, myths and fables, and loving these myths and fables, these that tickle the ears. Okay. And so, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. You know, there's going to be pressure on you. You're going to be pressured to join the crowd, all these people that have these, you know, large groups. You're going to be pressured to join them because, you know, after all, they must be doing something right because there's so many of them. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Again, he's told, you know, remember earlier in chapter 1, he'd been told to rekindle the gift. And now he's saying, make full, fulfill your ministry, Timothy. You know, this is what you were called to. Don't quit now, even though the circumstances are dark. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Okay, Paul's, these are some of Paul's last words, recorded words, as far as we know. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all that also, unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul says, I have fought a good fight, and the fight is to believe rightly. Believe that rightly divided word of God. I have finished my course. You know, my race is run, Timothy. You know, I have finished the race that I was part running. I have kept the believing, the right way, the rightly divided word, believing how God's word interprets itself, the rightly divided. I have kept that. I haven't watered it down. I haven't changed it to please people. I have kept the word, the faith. Henceforth, There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Timothy was not to turn to the myths. He wasn't to get involved with all kinds of other teachers and having itching ears. And again, the hope is set for him at the beginning of chapter 4 and here in verse 8, you know, that there's a crown of righteousness laid up. Loving his appearing here, it says, and it was, you know, Paul says there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, but he says not for me only, but all those who love his appearing. And in the context of this section, loving his appearing involves unwavering commitment to God's word and maintaining right believing, even when others falter and times grow difficult. And it entails being prepared to share God's word, whether it's convenient or not. And for those who persevere in this way, there's a crown that awaits them. And what Paul says, not for me, but all those who love his appearing. Yeah, we, you know, it's true. We are engaged in a significant struggle. And a wonderful man of God, I used to say, it's a good fight. You know, it's the only fight that counts. We are engaged in a significant struggle. But our daily commitment to believe this word of God will one day yield just unimaginable reward. You know, after some small earthly victory, you know, like somebody wins the Stanley Cup or the World Cup or whatever, someone is often will say, it doesn't get any better than this. But they have no idea. For us who believe, it's going to get a whole lot better. It's going to get a whole lot better when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back and we stand before him that day at the Bema, and he finds us faithful, that we didn't quit, that we didn't go away from God's word, but that we fought the good fight with him. And so now we see the context, how serious a matter, you know, these verses of Timothy that we know and love were written in, and we have a great model and we have a great exhortation for us to how to live our lives today. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your great word. Father, thank you that we have this sure word, this God-breathed word of yours, so that we know what the truth is. That word, Father, how it cuts through the chaff, it cuts through all the doctrines of this world, this deceiving information that is out there, so that to the end that as we study it, we can know your will, Father. How grateful we are that we have been taught this word so wonderfully over the years by so many great men and women of God. Thank you, Father, for entrusting that word to us, and help us, Father, to stay faithful. Just like Paul stayed faithful, help us to stay faithful to that word so that as we await the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not ashamed in any way whatsoever. Help us to rightly divide that word. Help us to be ready to speak it to others whenever the opportunity presents itself. And thank you, Father, for the great privilege you've given us as ministers of that word. We thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.